This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Oh, we're going to miss Ashley so much on this podcast, but I promise you it's going to be a podcast that comes up with some dirt, some juice, and some really good experiences. We're sitting live. I mean, we're live at the Vineyard in Napa Valley right now at the Carneris Resort. We want to say thank you to the Carneris Resort for hosting us. We're sitting up on top of the rooftop in a beautiful, I don't know what you call this thing. Tori, do you know what we call this thing?
A gazebo, Papa.
It's a gazebo.
I was going to say gazebo.
Yeah, it's a gazebo. This gazebo is beautiful. It's magical. And we're talking to some of Bachelor Nation's favorites right now. But this Live in the Vineyard Music Festival, you've heard us talk about it before. It's one of my favorite things of the year. And this year does not disappoint. We're going to have Avril Lavigne, Kelsea Ballerini, Maren Morris, Adam Lambert, and many more at this year's festival. So if you're ever in Napa, you're looking for a time of year to come, you're looking for a place to stay, stay at the Carneris Resort during the season of the Live in the Vineyard Music Festival. Is worth it. On this podcast, we're gonna have Joe and Kendall. Yeah, Joe and Kendall, the ones. We're gonna talk to them about their Scene dating app. But right now, we have a really, really special guest. Katie Mo is in the house.
Hey,
Katie. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna introduce you here. So you've had your time on Bachelor in Paradise and The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And recently I had a friend that I was talking to, and they told me just how much they appreciate you and love you as a human. And I mentioned it before on the podcast when you're on the show. I was like, that girl, I know she's a solid person because of her eyes. Like, you can, with the eyes that you have, you can't hide anything. Like, you can see right through them. Katie, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and that's so kind. I'd like to say they are honest eyes.
I think they are. Katie, you've also spent some time in Denver recently. We're going to get into it. You're still dating Chris, right?
Yeah, still engaged to Chris.
Still engaged to
Chris.
Yeah,
but we date. We go on dates.
I mean, I think it's like,
we're all dating when we're engaged. I mean, honestly, we're dating and engaged.
We just had to start with that little update, but let's talk about you first. Okay. Katie, obviously your life has changed fairly quickly in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just give a brief rundown of what are some of the positives and negatives to where your life has taken you?
Well, oh my gosh, it's been 1 year total.
It's wild.
Wild. Positives and negatives. Well, in a positive aspect, I've grown to know a lot about myself, a lot more. I always thought that I was very self-aware, but you'll quickly learn that you have a lot more to learn about yourself. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that I'm a lot of the times a mediator between my friends, and that I am an over-empathizer at times too.
What does that mean?
I empathize to a fault sometimes, to where sometimes I don't know, I'm just generally an emotional person, but I will empathize to where I'm a fixer, I try to uh-huh. fix everything for everybody, and that will exhaust me in the end. So just learning to prioritize myself over this past year has been super important, because I always put everyone before me in my life, and now I'm really learning to say no to things. That was my big thing in October. I did sober October, and then I also tried to practice saying no, because I used to get really sad about not being able to make it to something someone asked me to go to, or showing up for someone. And I realized if I just keep overexerting myself, I'm going to start showing up as someone who I'm not. And that's a frustrated person. That's a person who's very reactionary. So in order to show up as my best self, I'm going to have to say no and let them down in that moment, so that in other moments when they need me, I can show up better.
This is one of the most interesting things about coming on The Bachelor. And I think you're pointing to it. Has all this kind of came about because of your time on the shows, mm-hmm. and the pressures that it's put on you?
100%. Yeah, there also weren't this many opportunities to say no to this many things before. And, you know, some of the negatives there's negatives and positives in everything. And I like to say that with negatives come change, and with change brings growth, and growth is always positive. Mm-hmm. But it's still, I guess some of the negatives would be, I don't know. I'm trying to think of negatives.
It's hard.
It's hard because for the most part, anything that seemed like, and I'll tell you, okay, a negative. I struggled with depression a lot coming off of the show. So that's something that's very, and that's a vulnerable piece of me that I don't typically share. I don't even really share that on my social media. So there you go. But I've struggled with depression coming off of the show. And that's something that I struggled with before. But when you have a larger audience, it seems a little bit more daunting sometimes. Yeah. Or like it's a heavier weight. So for me, surrounding myself with the best family, like I have the best family to as a support system and the best of friends. So being open and honest with them when I am ever struggling helps me crawl out of things real fast. So those are some negatives, just deep, whatever I've experienced, it seemed even happy moments are accelerated and sad moments are heightened as well.
Yeah.
So the negatives would be that some of those sadder moments have been amplified. But other than that, the happy moments are so great. So it's hard to say.
When you do feel down and out, a lot of our listeners write in and they struggle with depression, or they just, I think a lot of people right now are feeling like outsiders kind of looking in, and especially to this world that you and I have both operated in. People watch it and they go, oh, if I could only be like Katie, if I could only be as elegant or whatever as Katie was or is. And you would say to them what?
Well, it's hard to just say one thing, but I would say to them, and what I've said to a lot of my friends, is the grass is not always greener. And that's something that in this world, especially now with social media, is hard to get out of your mind sometimes. You think, if I only had this, or if I could do that, my life would be blank. And sometimes just not the case. Because with opportunities and with exposure comes great responsibility. And a lot of things that you might not foresee when you're looking, because you can't see big picture when you're outside of it. But I would just say the grass isn't always greener, and also just appreciate and stay present to where you are now and appreciate all the things you have now. I guess that's as far as I can really go. There's so many things I could say, but grass is always greener is a really good one. It's one I use every day.
I want to talk about your relationship with Chris and how great the engaged life is, or I don't know, maybe how great it isn't. But before we do, let's take a break and hear from one of our sponsors. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. And they offer more than 80 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. One thing I've learned from the Almost Famous podcast and talking with Ashley and a lot of the women out there is that it's necessary to have the half cup sizes. I never thought about this, but I can see where it's so true. Skip the trip. Find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder. Order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Answer a few simple questions on the Fit Finder quiz, and Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. Ladies, come on. What could be better? Returns and exchanges are free and easy, and every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash and donate it to a woman in need. I don't wear bras, but Third Love sent Jess a classic lace racer back bra, and she loves it. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/famous now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/famous for 15% off today. We're coming back with Katie Mo. Katie, you're an engaged woman. Yes. You're just out in Denver in my neck of the woods. That's where Chris lives. I want to start, before we start getting into your relationship, there's a few moments from Bachelor in Paradise I want to point on, because I've been waiting for you to come on the podcast, and listeners out there will be go, yeah, I knew Ben wanted to ask this.
I forgot about
this. So there's a scene on Bachelor in Paradise where you're kind of talking. I forget with you if it was with Chris or was a guy. And everything you were saying was not making sense.
Oh, you mean Wills?
Wills. That was the scene.
I
watched it and I was like, I know Katie. I've met Katie. I've never had this experience with Katie. But I remember going to the podcast like that scene like
was wonkers.
Wonkers.
It
what
was
happening? If you were drinking too much, I get it. I've been there. If it was just like you couldn't get your words out, I get it. I've been there. I have to know, Katie, what was happening?
I am going to straight up tell you, it was a mix of things. Yeah, of course we had drinks for sure. There was alcohol in my system, but I wouldn't say I was wasted by any means.
Yeah.
I'm also narcoleptic, so I get really tired and we pull late nights there. So I'm just like a little kid who needs a nap.
Yeah.
Even during the day, I'm like that. So by that time, I don't even know what was happening. And then I'm going to tell you the truth. At that point, I had just gotten out of an interview about how I didn't want to be with Wills.
Okay.
And I thought Wills knew that. And so then right after that interview, he pulls me aside to do this little date card thing. And I'm like, oh no.
He doesn't get it.
This, and in my head, I just was overthinking it. I was like, oh no, they're gonna make him look like I'm saying that I'm gonna friend zone him, and then I come here and like he's doing this for me. Like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Uh-huh. And I guess I wasn't being clear. The part I guess you didn't see, I wasn't being clear enough with him, telling him I don't really want to do this. And my producer was like, this doesn't look clear.
Yeah.
so then when they're like, this isn't clear, I'm like, I really got to just be cutthroat here. And so that mix of tired, couple glasses of wine, now I know I have to like maybe hurt someone's feelings. Yeah. And I just talked about them. It was a mix of just like, I cannot handle this.
Uh-huh.
And I just started speaking in gibberish. I was like, I don't know. Gotta get out of here. Panic mode. My body went into malfunction and I needed to reboot.
Yeah. Okay. So here's something. It's relatable because the one of the negatives I think about being on the show is you always have to be on. And there's moments in life where like it is 11 o'clock at night. You've tired, you've had a big day, and you do start to talk gibberish. Like you have to go to bed, but you haven't yet for whatever reason. But this is your moment and it's on television.
Oh my gosh.
It was confusing. I was like, I remember coming on the podcast, I was like, I don't know what I just watched. That was the wildest thing I've ever seen, but now it makes sense and it's completely relatable.
Yeah, and it's funny because before that Wills had done other date cards for me.
Okay.
So it looks like it was the first time that he was pulling me aside and people were like, well, Katie, it's not that deep. But to me in my mind, I was like, oh, we've already done a couple of little tiny baby dates.
Yeah.
So I thought, and I always think it's a bigger deal, over empathetic.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm crushing him. But he wasn't that crushed. You know what I mean? Like, okay. It wasn't that deep, but I was like, oh no, I'm going to break his heart. And it made me sad.
That's funny. Yeah. So like you're like, oh my gosh, this poor man is gonna be distraught. And he's like, all right, well, this just didn't work.
Yeah, and he's like, it's cool. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Is it cool? Yeah. You know?
Katie, we gotta talk about Wills for a second.
Okay.
It's been one of the mysteries. Our listeners continue to write in and they send these emails to us. Oh, why is Will still single? Why does he go on these shows and he doesn't end up with somebody? I don't know Wills personally.
Yeah.
What is some of the reasons, or what did you see in Wills that said, all right, this isn't going to work for me?
I'm a little bit more of like the first few days of Paradise, I was really bouncy and jumpy and happy. And I think going into it, Wills had an idea of a couple people he liked. And I know that my happiness was something that was attractive to him, but he got really down on himself in Paradise, or at least it seemed to me that he looked defeated, and it didn't come off to me as inviting. So I don't know. It just wasn't an instant thing for me.
Yeah.
And he's a really great guy, and he's actually really, really funny. Mm-hmm. But there was just some things that were off for me. So.
Yeah, well, it has been a mystery. I think it's going to always be a mystery in Bachelor Nation on how Wills is end up with somebody. But once again, you have ended up with somebody, and I want to talk about that. but let's take a break. Seen Dating is the next generation dating app that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for the perfect match. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry. Let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive, and respectful dating environment ever created. Coming back with Katie Mo, talking about Bachelor in Paradise, talking about Katie personally, because she is somebody worth getting to know, and also talking about how awesome Napa is. Katie, your time on Paradise, I think, can be summarized in one word to me, and that was a roller coaster. Not one word. That's not one word. One phrase. A roller coaster of emotion. I was feeling for you, kid, the whole time, because I felt like you had really high moments, mm-hmm. some like really low moments, like, you know, the Will's conversation. I was like, I know you feel like you're crushing him. Some confusing conversations. I didn't know if you and Chris were going to work at the end, and then you did. Walk our listeners through this experience for you, because we just watched it and kind of like, I felt like every week I was up and down with you.
Yeah.
Was it like that in real life?
It was like that in real life. For me, for Chris, he said he felt more solid about us the whole time. But you also have to understand that for me, there was a point where Chris went on a date with Jen and then Chris doesn't come back until that rose ceremony because he was sick.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, it's going to be a toss up, guys. Like, here we go. We're waiting. Who's he going to pick? Because I hadn't gotten a chance to talk to him that week.
Yeah.
So, and then throughout that, you know, there were times where Chris would open up and I felt that we took leaps. And then there were times where he felt he was opening up so much, he would kind of shut down from it all. And he's been on this show for a long time, and I think he would feel emotions starting to come back, and he would start pulling back and retreat. And I was like, where's this guy going? Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's happening now? Now our relationship's taking steps back. So there was a huge roller coaster going on while in Paradise. And also, we were kind of chill and not moving. At first, we weren't moving fast enough for everyone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I make relationships move fast for people or not. It's just, that's how, for TV purposes, they didn't show a lot of us because we were boring in the beginning because we were just friends getting to know each other, not making out, just having like conversations about general family and friends by the pool. So it wasn't something they really wanted to show because they had a lot more juicy drama. Yeah. Ready and available, but it did feel like a roller coaster of emotions up until the very end when I started feeling very solid about us. And then it was the week before Fantasy Suite is when I was like, this is really happening. Like, right, I think this is gonna be a thing. And then Fantasy Suite night comes, and it's not about what exactly goes down in the Fantasy Suite, but all night you have no mics. You have a lot of freedom, and we stayed up all night, ordered as much room service as possible, and laughed and talked all night long. And I sat there and thought, wow, this could be my husband. This is crazy. But I was smiling, thinking, this is crazy. And it became very real. But then, before Fantasy Suite, we had that talk on the beach. And that was Chris having a little PTSD moment and struggling with a lot of anxiety, which is something that a lot of people struggle with. This self-sabotaging behavior, which I did in the beginning. Then I felt really solid about him, fought for him. And then he had some self-sabotaging behavior in the end. It was like, what if it doesn't work tomorrow? He said something like that to me. I don't know if it played. I think it did. He said something like, what if it doesn't work tomorrow? We might as well end it now if it's not going to work tomorrow. And I said, that's not how you do things in life. You don't just not try because it may not work tomorrow. Do you want this to work today? Do you want to be with me tomorrow? How do you feel about me as a person? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want it to work. I want it to work for a long time. Like, I want to be with you. I'm like, well, that's the answer to your question. It's not, what if it gets worse tomorrow? Because if we keep harping and worrying about the what ifs, we're going to push everything away that's good for us in this life.
Yeah.
because we're worrying about it being possibly failing.
Was it at all coming from a place of how much he, like, now that you look back on it, mm-hmm. was it all coming from a place of how much he cared about you?
Because
at the time, it looked like he's not for sure. Like, from totally. A viewer's standpoint, it's like, I don't think he's full into this.
Totally.
But looking back, do you think it was because he cared about you too much? He was scared.
I think that looking back and looking back now, I think after the show, even a month after, when I watched that, mm-hmm. I lived it. Then I watched it and I'm like, he wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And I thought that to myself forever. And that's why even on the reunion, I was like, I felt desperate watching it back yeah. because I felt it a little bit while I was there. Because while I was there, he was like, I want someone who's going to be solid about me and fight for me. And so what did I do? I was solid about him and I fought for him. But then he kept retreating. And it was very confusing to me. And to be honest, I'm still, our relationship is not perfect. I'm still navigating a lot of things together because that's what you do. But it helped us to communicate what happened while we had to rehash everything yeah. about while we were there after we watched it. Cause we both felt like we relived it a little bit, especially me. And that was a little bit of a mistake on my part. Cause I know how much of stuff is edited and I can't just watch back everything and take that at face value and possibly blame him for some things that could be edited or whatever the case may be. But I think it also stemmed from true feelings that were inside me while I was there. I did feel a little bit of desperation while I was there because I was giving so much more than at that time I felt he was giving.
And that's how it looked on from a viewer's standpoint.
Yeah.
And then the last time I saw you in person was at the reunion show. I was getting ready to go on to be announced as the Bachelor Live Tour host. And I was sitting out in my trailer and I step out and I see you and I go, oh, I want to go say hi to Katie. And then I realized that there's four cameras circling you and Chris is standing probably 15 foot from you with his back turned.
Yep.
I at the time didn't know what was happening because I wasn't in the show. I hadn't been inside watching it yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a moment for me where I thought maybe this was all over.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I was going to ask, did you think so too?
So, and this is interesting. I haven't talked about any of this yet, really. So it's hard for, so much has happened then and up until now that it's, all of these pauses I'm taking are me thinking back. Mm-hmm. But in that moment particularly, I felt defeated. I felt, part of me felt sad that I, you know, aired some of our dirty laundry, but then part of me felt that we were on a reality TV show and this was me being 100% real. And it was just this battle within myself and with each other. I was frustrated in that moment too, because I had talked to Chris about things that we had talked about on the stage that you didn't get to see. And I was overall very confused that day. Yeah. I think it was a day full of confusion. It was full of hurt. I didn't want it to end the way it did. And I think that something in me, it obviously had gotten to a point that was, I wish I could have sat up there and said how happy I was. I really, really do. Cause I totally would have. Typically I'm bouncing around everywhere and just hugging everybody. And I wanted to do that so badly. But when Chris Harrison started asking me those questions, I was like, shoot, I can't. I want to, I can't.
That was a decision up on stage when you were sitting there. Chris starts asking you these questions. And at that point you go, if I'm going to be true to myself and true to my relationship and true to the story that's been shown for months, I can't fake these answers.
Well, there's two Chris's. My Chris B knew about my dissatisfaction yeah. in the relationship at that time. But I think he thought that I could kind of push through it. Mm-hmm. And we were separated in trailers that day. We didn't get to spend any time together. And I know a lot of the couples do. And I had all day to think, you know, Katie, are you going to go up there and just be happy and, you know, just like let things try and make things better. And I had been trying to make things better and trying to communicate my feelings the entire time and nothing was getting better. So I said, I owe it to myself and everybody else to just tell the truth. And it was nothing bad against Chris in my mind. I didn't want anyone to go against Chris. And boy, did people go against him. And that made me feel so guilty. I housed so much guilt after that because that wasn't my intention. My intention was to say, hey, this is where we're at right now. It's not great. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be good, but this is what I'm getting. And I just want a little bit more. And I think you guys have seen a pretty true depiction of our story for the most part, and this is where we're at right now. And I wanted to be honest, and I thought Chris would agree, but he was a little bit more shocked than I expected. And it put a little fire under both of our asses to really put more effort into this relationship, but it also was a bit of a shock for a while. Shock to the system.
I think there is something to be said about those moments of clarity and intention. I think it's unique to have it done on national television, but I also think the world can't compare because not everybody has that opportunity. And mm-hmm. for a viewer, I guess glad it happened because it helped me understand you and Chris a little better. I think as a friend, I think it was also something I was nervous about because I walked out and I was like, this is done. Like Chris, I saw Chris turn around. I hadn't seen Chris in a while and he just kind of walked past me and he said, hey Ben, what's up? And I was like, that's not the normal reaction I would get from him if this was all good. And I saw you and you waved and you took off in a golf cart, I think. And Katie, so all of this is the last time I saw you.
Wow.
Where are you at now?
Wow. All of this was the last time you saw me? Oh, man. I feel like I just had to just dig so deep. We are so much better now. We're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be... My relationship with Chris is definitely different than any other relationship I've ever had. But different isn't bad. It was something for me. I think that there was a part of me that was a little... immature, in a sense, to expect it to be like something I've had in the past. That's not what love is. Mm-hmm. And I had to take a step back and say, you know what, Katie, like you fell in love with Chris for Chris. Chris isn't going to be all of a sudden lovey-dovey. Chris being sick put a lot of wedges in our relationship at first. And I'll go back to that because this is why it's sometimes very hard for me to explain where we're at and how we got here. When he came off the show, we were still navigating him being sick. And because he was sick, literally the day after our engagement, he was throwing up.
And I want to pause you there because Chris and I have talked about this on the podcast because I was sick through my whole time being the bachelor. That's when I lost the 35 pounds and I had the parasite and I couldn't stay out of the bathroom. Like I was so sick and it affected my whole experience as well. So Chris and I have related on this and I know this of how difficult it is when you don't feel good to then date well. So you get that now too.
So, and he was trying to be this man about it and not communicate with me how bad he was feeling. So he was just like, I don't feel that well, and would shut off a little bit. And I'm like, we just got engaged. We're sitting in this beautiful resort in this penthouse suite to ourselves. And he's just chilling in the bathroom, throwing up for 2 days. And I'm staring at the ceiling. So I'm like, oh, my God, does he regret everything he just did?
Yeah.
And it puts these little... And since he's not communicating it with me or how bad he feels or I think I need help or I think I... Essentially, the relationship was still so new. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is sick because he's probably anxious at the fact that he just proposed to me.
Of course.
And that's what in my head I started thinking. And then even... because even being sick affected the intimacy of the relationship. And so then the physical part of our relationship kind of was going
out
the window.
How could you? It makes so much sense now. Like, how could you be physical?
When you want to throw up every second or when he feels like his heart is fluttering. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't tell me he wanted to throw up every second. He wouldn't tell me he felt like his heart was doing this weird flutter. And because I didn't know that, and because he would just stare off, he would get cold when he felt really ill, and he would say, don't touch me right now. And if someone says, don't touch me right now, and you just got engaged, and this is the honeymoon part, or supposed to be, I was beside myself. I'm like, yeah. This guy doesn't even want to be near me. And so all of these things, he didn't realize that all of, he had no idea that everything he was saying to protect himself or to not tell me how ill he was making me feel like I wasn't enough and like I wasn't, or he didn't like me. And I'm like, he doesn't like me, but we're engaged now. I'm so lost. And I think a lot of it, part of my confusion is the vulnerability of him on the show. He felt so sick on the show that every time he was needed to be vulnerable, he was like, let's be vulnerable and let's, I got to get vulnerable and do it fast because I got to get out of here. I don't feel well. So when he had finally time with no cameras, he didn't want to talk at all because he didn't feel good. But him not feeling good lasted for months.
Yeah.
And months, I hadn't even known this guy. But since I had only known him for 6 days before he got sick. So essentially, the whole time in paradise, I was saying, oh, he's going to get better. He's going to get better. He doesn't feel well. He's going to be nicer. He doesn't feel well. He's going to, like, all this stuff. He's, once we get him off this beach, he's not going to be as miserable. I know it's going to be better because Chris would, he was really loving and he does, he is loyal to a T and he will go to war for his family and his friends and for me. But, and he had his moments where we would have so much fun, but they were few and far between. And I couldn't tell if I was going through something where it was more on the side of an emotional, and I don't want to, I couldn't tell if I was going through something with someone who was emotionally unavailable to me,
yeah.
or if I was going through, or if he was actually sick, mm-hmm. is what it was. And I was like, is he never going to show up because emotionally he's unavailable and this is never going to happen. And I'm crazy to think that these glimpses that I'm getting are truly a depiction of what it could be. Or is he actually sick?
And then commit your life and to partnering with this person who you're like not knowing if you're getting the full picture of.
Right. And I thought to myself, did I just fall in love with potential that may never come to fruition?
Yeah.
And that to me, I thought on that for weeks. But then we went through so much. And I told him, I'm like, listen, when you are sick, we have to make this fun somehow for you. Even if you're sick, you have to live your life to where you can enjoy some moments. Not every part of you being sick can be miserable because I'm going through this with you. I'm not going anywhere. Not for now. I'm like, not for now. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm going to be here until you get better. And I want to enjoy my time. And that doesn't mean we have to jump around and like hug each other all the time. But like let's be pleasant. Because he was being one of those grumpy, grouchy, sick people. And I was like, let's be pleasant with each other. I'm telling you, I was like, Chris, I'm telling you, I'm going to sleep in this hospital chair. And it's not comfortable. I could be grouchy too, but I'm not going to be because I want you to feel good. And I'm going to need you to give that back.
So he got put in the hospital?
Yeah.
This is such a story. See, these are the moments too that help define a relationship. So, Katie, with all of these things then, with the illness and the paradise now leading up to today, are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy. And what me and Chris have... So here's some good things about Chris and I, because I feel like everyone always gets to hear the bad. So what me and Chris have done that's really great and fun, what we love to do is try a lot of food. And I know people are like, food, that's so basic. But we love to try and get really ritzy spots in new cities. So when we were in New York, we went to this restaurant called Res Dora, and it's like booked out for 4 months, you know, we try and get, he knows people in the food industry. I think his brother-in-law owned a couple of like really high end restaurants. Mm-hmm. So we try and get these spots that you just can't get anywhere and go and have this private meal and order like 5 different courses and try it. Like we are these food critics. And so we do really fun, cute things. And I enjoy that with him. And we also are very much homebodies. And what's funny is I'm always so tired that we watch movies together, but we don't actually watch movies. Like he turns the movie on and I fall asleep before anyone can say one line. But so those are like some fun things we do. We play board games. We play Rummy Cube together and just like enjoy each other's company. But it's been a lot of learning to communicate, especially because now that he's been getting better and feeling better, life has been getting better. Because boy, was that daunting. And I felt like we went through the in sickness and in health part. Like, we went through the sickness part yeah. just right off the bat. It was like, here you go. You guys get sickness today and for the rest of the next few yeah. months. And so I'm really excited to enjoy health and like navigate the health side of things, because oh, that's yeah. when I feel like I can truly be myself in this relationship. With the sickness part, I'm on edge, I'm on guard, I'm trying to protect, I'm trying to make him better. I'm getting frustrated when he's not getting better for him. And that's the over empathetic part. I'm like, yeah. my whole body feels for him. So I'm excited that we both can kind of relax now, because it was also making him anxious not to know what was going on in his body. And I get that too.
How often are you guys together?
Not often actually, but I would say every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's about what Jessica and I are.
Yeah, I mean, but when we see each other, I like that, but also Chris doesn't like talking on the phone. I've gotten him to FaceTime more, so that's made it easier to be apart.
Yeah. I'm not a big phone talker either. I get yeah. that. It's not ideal.
Not much to say after a while.
No, it's better to FaceTime or say it in person. So, Katie, you and Chris are doing well. You're happily yeah. engaged. You've been through some stuff since
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, we've been through
there's
some
illness. Now we're getting to the health side of things, and I think there's only an up and up for you.
Yeah.
So outside of your relationship with Chris and outside of the Bachelor Award, what are you up to that you can tell us or that you're excited about? For all the listeners out there who are huge fans of yours, what can they be looking forward to?
A lot of stuff. So I've been doing, I had an event. It was called Well Rested. I did it with a brand named Kendra Scott. It was all about sleep and the sleep initiative. I'm really into the sleep side of health. I believe in fitness and diet 100%, but if you don't have sleep, then it means nothing. I've struggled with narcolepsy how long has it been? Whoa, 15 years I was diagnosed with it. So it was really important to bring sleep to the forefront. And so that was exciting. But also, I actually just got booked on a movie.
Hey!
And not to boast, but
you
I'm
should
really excited
boast.
About
Are
it.
Are you kidding me? That's not boasting. That's just awesome. We want to celebrate yeah. you here at this podcast. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm not speaking that I know of yet, but I'm like one of the lead dancers for a movie that one of my favorite actresses is in, Meryl Streep. So we'll see.
Katie, that's so cool. I'm so pumped for you.
I'm really pumped too, actually. Like, I'm smiling like ear to ear.
You
right
are.
I really
you should
am.
Be. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you.
Katie, you got to keep crushing it. You got to keep coming on the podcast. Thanks for just being you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, man.
I'm so excited to be able to be here in Napa with you at Live in the Vineyard. Katie, you're appreciated.
Thanks, Ben. Oh, I love you guys.
Have you heard about this company making stylish shoes for women and girls out of recycled plastic water bottles? Yes, you heard me right. Recycled plastic water bottles. Oh, and they're insanely comfortable and machine washable. They're stylish, sustainable, and comfortable. Really, all in one pair of shoe. They're the perfect flats for life on the go. They launch new colors and patterns every few weeks, and they sell out constantly. I have these because girls always wear uncomfortable shoes, and I feel bad as a guy. But with Rothy's, they're ultra comfortable. As soon as you slip them on, that's right, there's zero break-in periods in these shoes. Plus, Rothy's always comes with free shipping and free returns/exchanges. No risk, no worries, no reason not to try. It will blow your mind. And they're made from recycled water bottles. I mean, recycled plastic water bottles and a shoe that's comfortable and fits. Come on. In fact, Rothy's has diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills. Rothy's are manufactured in a zero-waste factory, and they ship directly in the shoebox. No unnecessary packaging. Take with me for a second. Plastic water bottles and no unnecessary packaging? These are feel-good flats in more than one way, if you know what I'm saying. It's the perfect holiday gift. So go check out all these amazing styles available right now at Rothy's.com/famous. Go to Rothy's.com. That's Rothy's.com/famous to get your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to Rothy's.com/famous today. If you listen to the podcast for any amount of time, you know I'm a massive country fan. huge country fan. It's how I connect back with my Indiana roots. And today, the Almost Famous podcast is lucky enough to have, in 2017, he was named as the Rolling Stones' 10 new country artists, and he's continued to succeed. It's Adam Doliak. Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're here for a couple reasons. One is you've had a ton of success, and it makes sense. Your songs are incredible. But there's a Bachelor tie-in here recently that I want to talk about. You chose to have Colton and Cassie in your most recent video, Famous. Why?
I did. So I put a song called Famous out earlier this year, and with it being, I was an independent artist at that time. I'm now signed to Sony Music in Nashville, and Colton and Cassie were on their way to Aspen on a road trip, and they took a video with their phone, basically just kind of bobbing their head, listening to Famous, and like, we don't know the words, but we love this song, and they just kind of put it on Instagram. And as you know, like, a lot of my friends sent it to me and said, look who's posting about your song. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to them and said, hey, thank you guys so much. And we've kind of kept in touch ever since then. I think that was March or April. And so you don't always get to make a music video for the song. You know, it has to be pretty successful, especially as an independent artist at that time, to go put the money into a music video and get to do that. So when it came time, we were talking. I said, it'd be cool to have some famous people with it being called Famous in the video. And I remembered that they were the first person to ever to post about the song and to shout it out to their fans and all that stuff. So they were my first choice to ask, and I asked them and they wanted to do it. And the only person I had to ask, and it worked out great.
That's awesome.
And yeah.
Obviously this is a Bachelor focused podcast. And so we're always a huge supporter when somebody seems to highlight Bachelor Nation in new genres. But for you, Famous is obviously the song that's hot right now and will continue to be hot for months, hopefully years, decades to come. But this isn't your first hit. You've had a ton of songs in the past. Tell anybody out there listening who is maybe familiar with you or not, some of your history and some of the songs you've came out with for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I put music out for the first time in 2017. And when you do that, it can be a little bit scary. You don't really know if people are going to like the songs or love the songs or hate the songs. You just, you know, the fans are never wrong. And most people have a boss, a 9-to-5 boss or something. As an artist, we just have fans. If they love it, then we're doing our job right, you know. And the first thing I ever put out was a song called Whiskey's Fine. Mm-hmm. And still one of my favorites to sing to this day. And a big reason I'm still doing this, I think, is that song. It sold like 40,000 copies opening week. I remember specifically Chipper Jones retweeted it when it came out. He was my favorite baseball player growing up. And we put out a bunch of songs. The SiriusXM The Highway has been really good to us, along with Spotify. And Whiskey's Fine was a single. There's a song called Bigger Than Us that was a single. And all that stuff's still out now. So it's just kind of been building and building, building for the last 2 or 3 years. And luckily, Famous is doing, better than any of those songs have before. And we're able to keep rolling with it.
You're from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I said that right?
Hattiesburg.
Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Land of Brett Favre for most people.
I was going to say. Yeah. And you followed his footsteps to Southern Mississippi University, where you played baseball.
Yeah.
And I heard an interesting story about you. You're a good baseball player. You got hurt, and at that time, your whole life kind of switched.
Mm-hmm.
I had a similar story. I played football, blew out my knee, and my life switched. And I know how that's affected me to this day. Tell us a little bit about what that transition was from a baseball player to an artist.
Well, you know, obviously playing baseball, and I've had a little bit of a random journey to get to where I'm at. I had a full ride to play golf in high school. So I actually quit all the sports, focused on golf all the way through my junior year of high school, got a full ride to Delta State in North Mississippi. And my friends talked me into playing baseball in high school the day of the first game, my senior year of high school. So I left the basketball court, walked out, fielded a bucket of balls, hit a bucket of balls, and started in the game that night.
What?
Just doing it for fun. I was at a smaller school, kind of just not thinking anything would come of it.
Yeah.
And long story short, I was 6'4". I was left-handed. Had a good year. Southern Miss was in Hattiesburg in the same town, really the only school that even knew I played baseball. And towards the end of the year, they called me, offered me a scholarship. And I said, shut up. I thought they were kidding. I was like, no, you're not giving me a scholarship. And they did. And so I called this golf coach back. He had given me a full ride for golf.
Yeah.
Call him back. I say, hey, I'm going to go play baseball. I can play golf till I'm 90.
That's wild.
And so that's how I ended up in baseball. And, you know, landed there. 3 years later, we were playing in the College World Series. I had never really watched the College World Series growing up, so I'm walking in, there's 30,000 people just screaming at me. It's just insane. Omaha was just such a good time. And that's, you know, a feeling that I'm still kind of chasing in music, really, that crowd, that energy, you know. But I didn't even, you know, at that time, I didn't sing or play guitar either. So I'm doing the baseball thing. I've been a drummer my whole life, always been a big music lover, but never really stepped into the spotlight of it, you know. And so my roommates in college, two of which are on the World Series, the Nationals, they just won the World Series, okay, which is pretty awesome. They all had guitars. They all played guitar. So when they would leave, I would pick up a guitar, teach myself, and they would just kind of hear me singing along, around the house. And they actually booked my first shows for me. They actually went around. I was scared to sing in front of anybody.
Who was this?
So Brian Dozier,
okay,
who was on the Nationals.
Yeah.
And Anthony Rendon, he's not a roommate, but he played at Rice.
Yeah.
So we played against him every year.
No way.
And George Springer on the Astros, I played in the Cape Cod with, actually. So I'd pretty much just root for the teams my buddies are on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was scared to do it. We booked shows. I showed up. A lot of other people showed up. It went really great. From the early get-go of when I started, even if I wasn't good at that time, mm-hmm, the comment I got was, hey, you have a really cool or unique voice. And it was something that I just kind of gravitated towards and tried to write my songs using that something different, you know. And so I just kind of kept at it. And before I knew it, I'm moving to Nashville and been there for 7 years now, and it's been a slow build, but everything, you know, it's kind of working out how it should, I think.
Your story is, I'm so intrigued. Let's summarize this for a second.
It doesn't make any sense.
You're a golfer who gets a full ride scholarship, who picks up a baseball, who gets a Division I scholarship to baseball, who picks up a guitar, who then becomes a full-on musician.
Yeah.
I wish I had the skills you had. I just talk in a mic for a living.
Well, I do too, kind of. Yeah,
good point. But you do it a lot better than I do, man. I think that's incredible. So just a side note here, my girlfriend, her brother just recently won the College World Series with Vanderbilt. So I've heard the stories of how crazy that is.
So that was this year.
That was this year.
So full circle moment for me.
Yeah.
Played in it back in 2009. This year, Kyle Peterson, who used to be a professional player and now announces for the College World Series and ESPN, he had heard Famous. They called me. They said, will you write the theme song for the College World Series this year?
No way.
So they called me like a month before, and I did. I wrote it. If you watched it this year, you heard it probably without even knowing. It's a song called Key to the City. And I know
exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't actually released it yet, but that's me singing, and I wrote that song with a couple of my buddies, and I think it's going to be the song for the next, like, 5 or 10 years.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, because when I watch his videos now, like the flashbacks and everything, like that's what's playing in the background. That's the song of the World Series.
Yeah.
How wild, man. This is crazy. Yeah. Adam, I am a huge fan of you, I have to admit. I want to know one thing. We're going to give Cassie a call here in a second.
Yeah.
Bring her on, talk about this song and everything else. I think a lot of our listeners relate with your story where dreams have shifted, maybe things have changed in their life. What is it like now to be a guy from Mississippi who's obviously had success and gone to high places in everything he's kind of gone after? What is it like sitting in Napa Valley after you've played at the brunch at Live in the Vineyard? Knowing that you have fans all across the country, that your songs will undoubtedly be very successful. Do you ever just take a second, look around, and go, how in the world did I get here?
I do that all the time, as a matter of fact. It's really amazing. I try to stop as often as I can just to kind of say, tell myself how lucky I am to get to do what I love for a living and to have, you know, like you say, fans. We're able to kind of go around the country now and sell tickets and play for these fans. We have some of the best fans in the world. And it's an amazing feeling. It's a time in my life right now where I'm getting to do a lot of first. You know, all these places I wanted to play, just like Napa, you know, I've heard of this event for a long time. And all these things that I've always wanted to do are just kind of starting to happen. And it's just such a dream come true. And I'm just really, really lucky to get to do what I get to do, you know.
I'm not overstepping. I live in Denver. One day when you come to Red Rocks, I'm going to be out there on the front row screaming your name. Buddy.
That's my dream. That's my dream venue. One of the first CDs I ever had was Dave Matthews Band live at Red Rocks. I think it was 95.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember my brother gave it to me for Christmas, and I listened to it for years and years and years. So it's always been, I've been there, but never actually been to a show there or played a show there.
I will be front row when that happens, and I think it will be happening very
soon.
At least it should be. your very first concert ever was in NSYNC. Are you still an NSYNC fan?
Yeah, everybody's an NSYNC fan. Okay. I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan.
Yeah.
Aren't we all? Bit of a man crush on Justin Timberlake.
I'm a little envious of that guy, though.
Yeah, he's a triple threat. He can do everything.
Yeah, I get a little angry when I see him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I play in a couple golf tournaments every year. I'm playing in the Diamond Resorts Celebrity Challenge this year in Orlando, and Timberlake's going to be there. And the problem with Timberlake is he's good-looking, he can dance, he can sing, he can entertain a crowd, and he's really good at golf. And so all of those things are things I'd always want to be that he is, and it makes me very angry.
Well, I've never met him. I hope he doesn't make me angry when I meet him.
Yeah.
But I would love to play golf with a guy, that's for sure. Is he really good, like scratch good? Or?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's like he's probably a two.
Oh, wow.
Two handicaps. Okay. One day we'll get out there and play golf. Adam, once again, before we bring Cassie on, Adam's new song is Famous. It's now available. The video is out there. And on this video is one of our favorites, Cassie Randolph. Cassie, I watched the video. It's awesome. It's super well done.
Do you love it?
I love it. I think it's great. Tell us about your experience working with Adam and this guy that you seem to know pretty well named Colton.
Ah, this guy named Colton. No, we had such a great time filming it. It was honestly one of the more fun things that Colton and I have ever done together, I think. It was just like hanging out all day with friends. I didn't feel like we were working one bit, but yeah, we had a blast.
Adam, before you came on, Adam was talking about just how big a supporters you've been to him and how, you know, you're one of the first people to really put this song out there. Did you ever expect kind of putting it out on social media would then come full circle back to you being in the music video?
Oh my gosh, no clue at all. I had no idea. Adam, did you already tell the story of how it happened kind of?
A little bit, but you can go a little bit further.
Oh, okay. Well, we were just on our way to Aspen, and the song came on the radio, and we didn't even know the lyrics yet, but we were like, oh, wow, this sounds like it's going to be a really great song. So we listened to it over and over and over again. So, of course, we had to story it and tagged Adam. I'm so happy we tagged you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. and then it turned into this, and I had no idea it would turn into this, but I'm so glad it did. And I saw the actual Instagram story video today, actually. Someone posted it. I think one of Colton's fan accounts.
It was one
Colton
of the fan accounts.
It.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. I was like, how do you still have that?
they are on their game. And if you were to post something for 3 seconds and delete it, they have it. They got it by the time.
Oh, I know. It's
careful.
A little scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Be careful. So, Adam, I have to ask you why Cassie's online. I watched the video, and obviously Cassie and Colton are together. And they're a great couple and they're happy together. But there was something about watching this video, like when they gave each other the eyes, it like took me back. Like it obviously, you know, it's a video, but they did such a good job at really kind of showing how much they care and just how interested they were.
I've been telling people this whole time, I don't think they had to do much acting in this video.
No.
They just seemed very much just really happy and very much in love. And it's cool to watch. I also say, I've said this a few times, but you don't want to be unhappy with your current relationship and be around Colton and Cassie. It's not a good place to be, you know.
That is such a compliment.
It is
a compliment to you, Cassie. I mean, tell us a little bit about what's going on with you and Colton right now. I mean, for Adam to say that and say that if you're having any troubles with your relationship,
that's so sweet.
Don't be around you guys because things seem so good. Are they good?
No, yeah, things are really great with us. We're just having fun and enjoying our time together and kind of enjoying how it's been. Little bit slower recently, not traveling too much. Well, he's actually traveling right now, so that's a lie. Still busy, but we're doing really good.
Such an awesome thing. Well, Cassie, I want to say thanks for coming on the podcast. Also, thanks for being a supporter of a great artist, Adam Doliak, with the song Famous. Cassie, to send us off here, I always like to do this. I'm going to put you on the spot.
You got
30 seconds or less to sell somebody on why they should become a massive fan of Adam.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, this will be easy because Adam is not only one of the most talented people that I've met, but he also is such a great person. And I think knowing the person behind the music and it really makes a difference in the music itself. So, Adam, I think you're a great person and you're going to go far. And I've already heard some of his music that's coming out soon, hopefully. So, and that's also really good. So definitely keep following him and keeping up with his music and his career.
Awesome, Cassie. Well, Cassie, thank you for coming on.
Love you, Cassie.
Thank you for having it, or having me, not us, being with Colton.
Yeah, it's all one and the same these days, Cassie. So, hey, once again, listen to the single Famous by Adam Doliak. The video came out this week featuring Colton and Cassie. Generous has been up and going for 2 years. You've heard me talk about it before. I promise you this. There is zero chance Generous is what it is today without the team around me. Helping a company build a great team is exactly what ZipRecruiter does. Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates fast. It's important. It's necessary. I don't think you start a small business, or I don't think you find success in your small business without a great team. And ZipRecruiter will help you do that. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter.com and said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist. Yeah, listen up, in less than a week. As a small business owner myself, I sit right with Gretchen. I get it. I get the pains. I get the fears of hiring new employees. But I trust that ZipRecruiter will do me good. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEN. ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This podcast just keeps on giving right now. We've got one of Bachelor Nation's most beloved couples, Joe and Kendall, with us in Napa Valley talking about their most recent project with the Scene dating app. Welcome to the Almost Famous podcast.
Hello there. Thanks for having us.
We were chatting a little bit before you came on the podcast about this app, and I think only you two can explain it. You explained it so well to me, and I think our listeners are going to be shook with how great it is and how scary it is. So, Kendall, tell us about the Scene dating app.
So, the Scene dating app is basically transparent dating. And what I mean by that is that all of your conversations that you have with the people that you match on the app and all of the video chats you have with the people that you have on the app are seen by everybody else who is on the app. So, it's very... So, nothing is hidden, pretty much. It's very out there for the world to see.
You have to step out of your comfort zone.
This is true.
Which is very scary, but at the same time, actually produces quality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, that's what we had to do.
This is true.
So the Scene dating app is just launched this week on the App Store. It's called Scene, S-E-E-N. So let's start at the beginning. Dating apps have been around for a while. You've been able to swipe right, swipe left for a long time. There's obviously some great things about that, some beautiful relationships that are formed. And there's also some negatives. And one of those main negatives is a couple of the keywords that we throw around are like ghosting.
Yeah.
There's some inappropriate pictures, messages getting thrown around, maybe too aggressive behavior. What this app does, from what I'm understanding from you, is this app allows transparent dating to be at the forefront. So, as we like to say in Bachelor Nation, you have to be there for the right reasons.
Yes, you definitely have to be there for the right reasons, because there's no hiding. And I feel like with Joe's and my relationship, because it was so public, we found strength and vulnerability. And I feel like the app does the same thing. You are able to build meaningful and honest relationships. And it's a scary thing. I mean, with Joe and I, it was extremely scary to have a public relationship and have everyone else's opinions. But at the end of the day, I felt like it allowed us to live at the edge of our comfort zone, which made it so, you know, we have a really successful relationship with nothing to hide.
Well, and there's so many apps out there, so many dating apps, and you know, you don't know who is serious. And this is actually for people that really want to date And because you're able to be transparent on this app, it allows other people, oh, wow, this guy actually isn't a jerk. He's not here to get more Instagram followers
or just to
hook up. He actually wants to meet somebody. And then with that knowledge, you could say, okay, now I can actually take this person seriously. So you could allow yourself to be vulnerable, opposed to on the other apps. In my opinion, it feels like you have to be guarded because you don't know what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
I can see somebody out there listening right now going, wait, this seems scary and it seems incredibly intrusive. Mm-hmm. What would your response be?
It could be. It kind of is. I mean, it is scary, and that's the exciting part. Mm-hmm. You know, Kendall and I don't think we'd be involved if it wasn't a little scary.
Yeah, and I think it's also we wouldn't be involved if it wasn't something that we've been through personally ourselves. And I think the scary part, it's not as scary as it appears. You kind of get used to the fact that, okay, my conversations are going to be public, and if you have nothing to hide and you have true intentions, then, you know, it's just allowing other people to see how you are with conversations, how you are with, you know, in person in these video connections that you have with people. And also when you get further on in the app, it's you get to have private messages and you can, you know, exchange phone numbers privately. So it's not like you're going to be advancing your relationship all publicly.
Well, it's for people that aren't trying to hide anything.
Yeah.
You know, you're going out there, you're being yourself, you're showcasing yourself. And if somebody's into you, great.
I love the idea of this. Yeah. I think this thing is so scary. I think it feels so uncomfortable, but I do think it eliminates some of the biggest issues with online dating and social media. I think this what it does is allows us all to be our truest versions of ourselves. Hopefully also our most polite and well-behaved versions of ourselves.
Yes.
But here's what I know could happen with me, right? We're in Napa Valley right now, so wine is flowing. I could see myself drinking a little too much and saying something that I regret or maybe that I would disapprove of the next morning. Is it out there for everybody to see forever?
Oh, no. We have all been there. I have definitely had those moments with my stories where I wish I could. I've deleted them. But the same thing is with the Scene app. So you can delete messages. The thing is, you don't want to make a habit of deleting all of your messages because it
stays on your record.
Yes,
it's like a permanent record. So if you delete multiple messages, people are like, okay, well, this person has deleted 10 messages. There's a reason for that.
That brings up a red flag.
Now, if you know you get drunk every 3 months and you get a little wild, you delete it. Big deal.
Yeah.
Do you have to live in LA to do this?
So for right now, you have to live in LA to be a participant in the dating world of the site.
But anybody could watch.
Anyone can watch. Anyone can kind of see what's going on. But Scene is going to be spreading to different cities soon. So we're going to be expanding. We're going to be reaching more cities. And we're excited about that. We're excited for a lot more people to be able to have this experience because I think it's just like a new way of dating that it's almost a new traditional way of dating.
Yeah.
I think it's great. So is it free then? If I'm going to just sit and watch, I have a note here that you can follow the hashtag Real Connections on social media to see some of the connections being made and some of the people involving themselves on the Scene app. But I don't want to just watch and pay for the app. So is it free?
It is free.
It is free. Yes, it is free. But there is an option to go to pay for the advanced version of the app, which has a lot of different perks that go along with that.
I am a true fan of this. If I was single, I could see myself using this app. It seems, once again, scary. It seems super vulnerable. It probably is both. But I think, as Kendall, you've said many times when I've been around you, it's when you're going to have to fix this for me, but it's when you step out of your comfort zone is when life truly begins.
Life begins at the edge of your comfort zone.
That is the tagline for
this
app.
I feel like being a part of the Bachelor world, we are no strangers to living beyond our comfort zone, maybe sometimes far beyond our comfort zone. And sometimes that's the best place for growth. So I think that this is something that I love that is reaching to a lot more people that are able to have the experience of pushing themselves and doing something that does feel a little bit scary.
Who doesn't want to date and date people with nothing to hide?
Yep.
Come on. It's awesome. Hey, before we let you go, I know all of our listeners will be like, Scene's great. We should definitely use it. And they will be. But then they'll also be like, what is going on with Joe and Kendall right now? How is life?
Life is great. Life is great. We're going to be going to Japan in a few days.
In 2 days, so we're going to Japan.
We're going to Japan, which has been a dream of ours for such a long time. Ever since we met, we've wanted to go. So we're just excited to travel and to, I mean, of course, we're living together in West Hollywood. So
Kendall has her podcast Down Today.
Yeah, my podcast Down Today that I've been doing as well. So we're creating a fun little life together. So we want to adopt a dog in December. This is something that I've been anticipating for quite a long time.
We're going
now,
to Chicago for Thanksgiving.
There's a lot of things.
You can't just give up. You're adopting a dog. This is a big deal.
We're adopting a dog when we get back from Japan, and a dog that does not shed.
Yes. Okay. Well, Joe and I have had experience. Have had experience fostering dogs, and yeah. So I've had to like nurse puppies back to health and do all of that. So I know the hard part of owning a dog and potty training and all yeah. that. So I'm excited to actually have a dog that's a permanent part of our family, and that doesn't break my heart whenever yeah. they have to leave. So
this question's never framed correctly. But your lives will never be fully what they were before. It's just not possible. Your life has continued to move on, and there's been new experiences and new successes and new things.
I'm a dancer.
You're a dancer now. So the question then is, has life at this point started to feel like a new normal? Have you started to feel content, and do you, like, are you understanding what your relationship looks like outside of the pressures of the fame?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we've got off the show, you know, obviously it's a little difficult at the beginning, but for the most part, I think we've done a pretty good job of really not paying attention to any of anybody's outside opinions okay. and any of the noise, and just really we have clicked kind of from the beginning, and it's honestly it's really just been easy.
Yeah.
And
which has been surprising.
Yeah.
And but I'm not going to complain, like our lives are good. Like we live really like a really nice life, and it's just
yeah. And I think it has a huge part to do with having the strength in each other yeah. going through everything, but I think we're just taking the opportunity of what everything is and just kind of enjoying it together. And
yeah,
it's been wunderbar.
Yeah.
Kendall, are you happy?
Yeah very much happy.
Joe, are you happy?
Couldn't be happier.
That's awesome, guys. Hey, well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking about Scene once again. Scene is now available to download. It's a scene dating app where transparency is key. Make sure you go download it if you're out there looking, you're single, ready to mingle, and you're looking for a good time. Hey, Joe and Kendall, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us, Ben.
Scene Dating is the next generation dating app for online daters fed up with faked up profiles and time wasters. Scene is the first and only dating experience that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for the perfect match. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles who are serious about dating an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry. And that means more real connections. So, if you're tired of relying on the contrived profile and the set of might look like me but not quite pictures, Scene reveals a potential partner's complete personality and charisma and lets you choose. Let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive, and respectful dating environment ever created. We're definitely missing Ashley. That's not a secret. We always do. But I'm telling you, this was a star-studded podcast live from the Carneros Resort in Napa Valley. Napa, once again, you continue to impress me. This is a special place. And if you haven't been to the Carneros Resort in Napa, it is definitely, definitely worth going to. I think this might be one of the most beautiful places I've ever set foot. We've been on the rooftop of our house that is rented in this resort all night. Podcasting, and it has been something really special. So once again, thanks to the Carneros Resort in Napa Valley. Also thanks to the new dating app Scene Dating. We talked about it with Joe and Kendall, as you just heard. That is a dating app I think that will rock the world. Hey, we are in Napa Valley live in the Vineyard Music Festival with Avril Lavigne, Kelsey Ballerini, Maren Morris, Adam Lambert, and many more. I'm telling you, we're gonna have a great time. Thanks to Joe, Kendall, and Katie for coming on the Almost Famous podcast. With that, I've been Ben.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.